This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission scheduled for May 4th. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Second item of business this morning is two advisory opinions. We were originally going to begin with advisory opinion 2006-8 on behalf of Matthew Brooks. We have received a comment submitted by counsel, and we are looking at that comment now. So we're going to take that up at the end of the agenda today rather than at the beginning, so we have a bit of time to review that comment. So we will next go to advisory opinion 2006-13. On behalf of Dennis Spivak and Neil Reif is the counsel, and Mr. Johnny Levin from the counsel's office is handling this matter, and I think we have a late submitted, no, we do not have a late submitted document on this. Okay, great. Mr. Levin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The draft before you responds to an advisory opinion request from counsel for Dennis Spivak, who is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the at-large seat in the U.S. House of Representatives from Delaware. Mr. Spivak is, and has been since 2001, an equity partner at the Morris James Law Firm and has been compensated in accordance with the firm's established compensation plan. He anticipates that during this year, he will devote a considerable amount of time to campaigning, and hence his productivity at the firm will likely be reduced from previous years. The firm's compensation plan takes reduced productivity into account. Mr. Spivak asks whether the compensation paid by the firm, in accordance with the firm's established compensation plan, will constitute a contribution to his campaign. The draft concludes that it will not constitute a contribution because Mr. Spivak's compensation, one, will result from bona fide employment that is genuinely independent of his candidacy, two, will be exclusively in consideration of services provided by him as part of his employment, and three, will not exceed the compensation that would be paid to any similarly qualified person for the same work over the same period of time. And I'm prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. Discussion on the draft advisory opinion. Is there a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
I was going to move for the adoption of the staff document, which, make sure I've got my number right here, is agenda item 06-36.
Vice Chairman has moved approval of agenda document number 06-36. Discussion on the Vice Chairman's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 6-0, and the advisory opinion is approved. Thank you, Mr. Levin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And that takes us to our final item of business, which is advisory opinion 2006-8 on behalf of Mr. Matthew Brooks and Craig Engel as counsel. We're going to take, I think, a 30-minute break because we received a comment from Mr. Engel. We want to make sure we have a chance to digest it and consider it. So we will plan to reconvene at 11:50 this morning, 10 of 12. Thank you. Okay, let's resume. This is a continuation of the Federal Election Commission's open meeting of Thursday, May 4th. And our last item of business today is advisory opinion 2006-8, submitted by Matthew Brooks and his counsel, Craig Engel. And I think we have a late submitted document, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move for the suspension of the rules for the timely submission of documents to consider agenda document 06-37.
The Vice Chairman so moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. And from the counsel's office in this matter, Daniel Abramson, as well as Rosie Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the agenda before you is draft advisory opinion 2006-08, responding to an advisory opinion request by Mr. Matthew Brooks. This draft reflects the additional information that was provided by Mr. Brooks at the request of the commission during its meeting on April 20th. Mr. Brooks intends to form a for-profit corporation to provide commercial services to individuals interested in making contributions to political committees, candidates, and other entities. Mr. Brooks inquires as to the permissibility of the corporation's plan to receive deposits from individuals and then, at the individual's direction, distribute these funds to the proper recipients. The request also asks whether it is permissible for the corporation to provide commentary and analysis of federal candidates to its customers, as well as forward solicitations from candidates and committees to its customers. The draft concludes that the corporation may receive funds and distribute contributions to candidates and political committees. The corporation may also forward commentary and analysis of federal candidates to its customers. However, the corporation may not forward solicitations for federal candidates or political committees. And we do have a few technical amendments to the draft. On page 7, footnote 3, these changes change the incorrect plural possessives to singular possessives and correct the citation. The correct sentence should read, because the corporation will be forwarding solicitations for political committees other than its own separate segregated fund, the corporation may not avail itself of the narrow exception allowing certain communications outside of its restricted class contained in 2 U.S.C. 441 B.B. 4A.I. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Abramson. And I guess we had a late comment from the Requesters Council, I guess dated May 3rd, which we received this morning. That's my understanding. We have that as well. Okay, discussion of the draft before us today. Commissioner Weintraub, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Maybe, maybe not. You might not like what I have to say.
It's always good to have you, regardless of what position you take.
That's very gracious of you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank my colleagues and the requester for trying to accommodate my desire to get some more information on exactly how this is going to work. I appreciate the effort. As it turns out, I'm still not entirely clear on the details of how this organization is going to function. And in part because of that, I'm not going to be able to vote for this AO today. But as I said last time, if there are four votes to go forward and answer the man's question, that's without me, that's fine. I think that in AOs, we are really... The process was designed for a very fact-specific analysis, and I don't have those kind of specific facts here. And I think one of the dangers of issuing an AO where we don't have very specific facts is that regardless of what this requester ends up doing, somebody else is going to read the same AO and think, aha, well, if he can do that, then I can do this. And, you know, it's if we're not tying this to a very specific plan on the part of the requester, it's hard to say that they can't. I think they're at some risk if they deviate in any way from what we specifically say here, but it's possible and it concerns me. I think that it's clear that somebody could hire themselves out as a financial advisor to people who want to make political donations. I think you could, you know, clearly have a newsletter or some other form of information. What makes this different is that he wants to actually collect the money and distribute the money. And what's not clear to me still is to what degree the information that he's going to be providing is going to be... could be slanted in order to encourage people to come to the conclusion that certain candidates or causes are worthy of support. The corporation is going to select information that it thinks will be relevant to the requesters based on, and it's still not clear to me exactly how the requesters are going to make their interests known to the corporation. It seems to me there's a lot of discretion involved in this process. And I think if you want to set up an organization to take in money and then to hand out money to candidates and to guide the direction in which that money is going to flow, there is a perfectly legal way of doing that. It's called forming a political committee. And it's just not clear to me that what he's doing shouldn't be governed by the rules that govern political committees, which would include limits on how much money you could take in from individuals and how much money could be given out to particular candidates. We have a recent regulation that defines direct as to guide directly or indirectly, and I think that depending on what kind of information is provided, this corporation could be guiding directly or indirectly where the contributions are going to flow. The corporation's going to have physical control over the money. And it seems to me that these are functions of a political committee, not a corporation. So I'm concerned about not only my lack of understanding of exactly how this organization is going to work, but also how other organizations that might be set up in response to this, after they read this advisory opinion, might organize themselves. I mean no disrespect to either the requester or his counsel, because I'm you know, they're savvy political professionals, and I'm sure they'll do whatever they think is necessary to abide by the law. But, you know, other people may get into this game too, and I don't think we're giving them very good guidance. I do want to point out that there are a couple of serious limitations in the advisory opinion, which I'm pleased to see, that could have relevance, perhaps more so, again, for other people than for this requester. The advisory opinion, if it's approved, currently says on page 5 that individual subscribers would compensate the corporation as an incidental cost in making contributions. I think there are, you know, we have seen in other instances, and I'm not at all suggesting that this is what this requester has in mind, that there are a lot of people out there who are willing to take advantage of people's ideological and political fervor to try and make a buck. We've seen things where the money doesn't actually end up in the place that the individual donors actually might have intended, and more of it ends up as compensation to the organizer or corporation, and less of it ends up as actual political donation. And we've also seen instances of out-and-out fraud where people set up fake websites that look like they're designed to capture other people's political donations. And again, I'm not suggesting that this is what this requester is planning on doing, but I think for the benefit of other people who are reading this and might say, oh, well, that looks like a good model for making money, I think it's pretty clear by the use of that word incidental that if an organization were to be set up where more money was going into the pocket of the corporation than was being distributed out to in donations, I think that would pose a really serious problem, and is not necessarily what is contemplated by this opinion. I also think there's a very serious yes but on page 7, where the draft says that, yes, the corporation may recruit individuals to serve on its board of directors who may also be officers of political committees. However, if these individuals are acting on behalf of a federal candidate or political party committee while participating on the corporation's board of directors, the corporation might be directly or indirectly established, financed, maintained, or controlled by a federal candidate, office holder, political party committee, and thus subject to applicable limits and prohibitions. Whether individuals are acting on behalf of somebody else, whether they are controlling who's establishing the organization, these are all fact-intensive inquiries. And I think that any entity that sets itself up along this model is going to be subject, it's going to have to go forward very carefully, because somebody else could file a complaint and say, hey, you know, you were actually, we know who all these people are on your board, and they're all on the board of some other organization, or they're all on the executive committee of a political party committee, or they're all related in some other way to some candidate, and we think it's established, financed, maintained, and controlled. And if we were to get a complaint like that, it's quite possible that the commission would decide that they couldn't dismiss it without doing some investigation, and those are always unpleasant to be on the receiving end of. So if the commission adopts this, they're giving, but it's they're giving permission, but the permission is somewhat limited, I think people would have to go forward with extreme care. So in general, that's why I don't think I can support this request, although it's not clear to me that if I actually knew exactly what was going on, that I might not be able to support the particular business model that the requester wants to do. I still don't have a clear sense of exactly how this is going to work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. Vice Chairman Lenhart.
Thank you. I want to begin by thanking the counsel for the requester, and they're providing us repeatedly and promptly with additional information. I think that was helpful for all of us. I think there a lot of time was sort of spent trying to think through the implications of this, because I think in some ways what is being presented here is familiar, and in some ways it's new. And I think that a lot of time was spent trying to sort of envision how specifically this particular thing would work and how things like it would work. A couple of things that struck me as new or emerging is that this is a for-profit entity as opposed to being a non-profit, that it's a means by which to provide and process to people who want to make contributions, informations about candidates and groups that are politically active and doing things like what the donor wants to do. And as there's a proliferation of this kind of activity going on, political activity going on, it's a way for people interested in giving to sort through that. And it's also new because this entity wants to, collect and process the contributions for the donors. In some ways, it's a set of kinds of activities that we're beginning to see emerge in models outside of this one, in which information is being provided to people of a like or common political orientation about candidates that are similar to their belief systems and guiding them to making contributions. I think we're seeing this increasingly on the internet, and our recent internet rulemakings make this permitted a lot of that activity to continue. In those cases, the thing that's sort of different about this, is that the fund, in the cases that I've seen, the situations I've seen on the internet, the entity isn't collecting and processing the payments through. They're connecting the donors to the candidate's webpage, but a number of the other features of this are similar to those kinds of models. The factors that really I thought were important for me in deciding to approve or voting to approve the draft that we've got today is that this entity is entirely funded by donors. This is not a situation where this kind of activity is being subsidized by corporations or labor organizations, but it is driven by the donors. The individuals who are involved in this, who sign up to do this, are choosing the information they're getting, both in terms of the initial decision that they want to participate with this kind of group, and my sense is that these groups will make clear that they have particular approaches to politics that the donors are receptive to, and also because they're surveying donors to try and give donors to get a sense of what the donors are interested in more specifically. Another a crucial feature for me is that the control over the decision as to whether to make a contribution or not lies with the donor. As to when that contribution is made, how much is made, whether to make a contribution or not, remains the donor's decision throughout this entire process, and the donor is free to withdraw their money and cease to participate in this entity. So that, I thought, was important in distinguishing it from a political committee, is that throughout this process the donor retains control of decision-making. And so my sense is, to the degree that people are interested in being more active in making contributions, and that this is a helpful process or means by which they can screen and make those decisions, it seemed to fit within our existing rules and regulations, and I would be supportive of the staff draft to that would approve of that.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Just a couple of quick points from my part. I do share the thoughts the Vice Chairman's outlined. A couple things. I think this is, if we approve the opinion here, it'll be an important development, mainly because we're recognizing that vendors can and do act on behalf of donors. Our regulations are a little bit more concrete in terms of vendors who act on behalf of campaign committees or party committees or PACs or other types of entities. But as the Vice Chairman alluded to, there is a development going on now where brokers and vendors act on behalf of the super wealthy who have you know, the nice problem to have of actually worrying about exceeding a $100,000 aggregate contribution limit. That'd be a very nice problem to have, one I'm not familiar with. But in the charitable world, it's my understanding that oftentimes the super wealthy hire brokers and vendors of this nature to advise them on where to make their charitable contributions. And like this model, the decision-making lies entirely with the wealthy donor, and they're just these vendors are serving an important function in terms of gathering information for them, making it possible for the donor to know more about the various charitable options that they have. The only difference here is that this is in a political setting in terms of the political donations that the donor may want to make. So I think if we approve the opinion today, we'd be recognizing that vendors can and do act on behalf of clients that are donors, just like they can and do act on behalf of campaign committees or party committees or PACs or other types of entities. The other thing that's important for me is that by every indication, the entity before us today is a commercial entity that is interested in making money, and if their business model takes off, will make money. And I think that's an important factor in terms of deciding to approve the proposals before us today. In looking at Mr. Engel's May 3rd letter, I mean, his first issue is he'd prefer that the text to talk about how the corporation will not author any analysis rather than say that they won't create any information, and I personally have no problem with that. It seems to be a little bit of a tighter fit in terms of what they're doing. And then the second issue that Mr. Engel raises is whether or not the answer to question number 4, I guess it is, on page 6, in terms of the corporation. There we go. Question number 4, in terms of the corporation receiving and forwarding contributions, Mr. Engel suggests that rather than saying no, that we ought to apply the same analysis and say yes with respect to that. And it's my understanding the theory would be, look, in forwarding contributions, they would be going to the clients, the donors, who fill out these donor profiles in terms of the types of candidates they're interested in, you know, pro-life candidates, pro-choice candidates, conservatives, Republicans, whatever it may be. It would just be another piece of the information packet that the corporation would be providing to the clients to help them decide whether to make contributions. Now, I'm not operating under any illusion that these type of corporations would. I guess I'm recognizing that if this model is approved, that there might be one or more corporations that focus a little bit more on the conservative type candidates and conservative issues, and maybe there'd be one or more on in terms of progressive issues and candidates. But I think the business model is the same. Just like there are vendors that congregate, you know, whether you're talking about media vendors or fundraising vendors or event vendors, tend to service clients that are either on the right or the left, and that's appropriate for them to do that. I would foresee the same situation here. But what I thought was important in terms of the requester's business model is that the corporation would not be exercising any direction or control in terms of the contributions that are made, would not be filtering out solicitations that would be forwarded, but instead would be a facilitator, would be implementing the donor profile decisions that the donor has made. And so if the donor wants to receive every solicitation from pro-life candidates in the Midwest, well, then that's what they're going to get. Or if they want to make different cuts in terms of the information they receive, they can do that. So I was open to discussion of whether or not we could indicate with respect to question 4 that it would be permissible for the corporation to forward and receive the contributions, the solicitation, subject to the same safeguards that we have with respect to the other issues raised in the opinion. Vice Chairman Linhart.
Yes, if I could just return to those points, because I didn't mention the suggested changes that the requester had made, and I should have. I agree. I mean, I think that the first suggested change, which was to clarify that they could that they were in fact going to be creating some information that was being communicated to their clients, you know, was of necessity how the business would operate, but that they were distinguishing that between authoring analysis, and I that seemed an appropriate distinction, and I was supportive of it. changing the draft to reflect that. In addition, I don't have. I think their second change is appropriate as well. I mean, this didn't. Our original analysis that talked about republication didn't entirely. The concerns that the republication rules raised didn't strike me as particularly applicable in this circumstance. Primarily, those appear in the context of entities subsidizing the costs of campaigns by reprinting the campaign's materials, and that in this particular instance, that kind of subsidy isn't occurring here. This is much more akin to the rulemaking we just did on the internet, where they're simply forwarding on emails, and there's no particular cost to the campaigns or to the entity. And to the degree that there are any costs, the donors that have agreed to sign up for this program are paying for those costs. So those two suggested changes didn't concern me.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Commissioner Bonsakowski and then Commissioner Weintraub. Commissioner Bonsakowski.
Since I think I had originally requested another draft of this, I certainly am supportive of the Chairman, the Vice Chairman, and the remarks. I would like to thank the team of lawyers who worked on this, Maya Din, Rosemary Smith, and Daniel Abramson, for the various drafts they did based on the comments and so forth coming back from the commissioners, and we do appreciate that. You all have talked about the details of this from a higher kind of policy standpoint. I want to point out that, one of the problems with government regulation is that it tends to stifle innovation, and we should not interpret our regulations to do that. This is an idea, this kind of service corporation to help donors is something that obviously was not contemplated when this law was passed. It wasn't contemplated when our regulations were passed. And it's not something that violates the law, either the exact language of the law or the spirit of the law, and I don't think it violates our regulations either. It's the kind of innovation that's been going on in the service economy throughout the U.S. The chairman mentioned this is now something that's being done in the charitable donations area, exact same kind of thing. And there's obviously, this is not a political committee. There's no hint or even idea that any kind of corruption is going to occur from doing that. I think it is important that we not stifle these kind of innovative ideas, and I support not only the rewrite, but I also think the changes that were suggested by Mr. Engel are changes that are consistent with the reasoning that we've applied in this other draft, and I fully support them.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think this is going to make much of a difference, but I just wanted to point out, because you because you use the example of, if you want to support pro-life candidates from the Midwest or whatever, that I was actually surprised. I thought that's the way it would work, and I was surprised to get the response that we got from the requester to one of my questions, saying that the corporation will not solicit statements about the subscriber's stance on a particular issue, and the question was posed in favor of would the donors identify themselves as in favor of tax cuts or against tax cuts. And the answer was no, they're not going to solicit statements about the subscriber's stance on a particular issue. Rather, the subscribers will be informing the corporation of their general interest in particular issues. I'm just sort of not sure. It would make more sense to me the way you put it. I would understand the model better if that's what they said they were doing. I'm not exactly sure how this plays out. And I knew somebody was going to raise the innovation argument, and I would hate to be portrayed as the old fuddy-duddy who, is trying to squelch innovation. As I said, if I felt I had a really clear idea of what was going to happen here, I might well be willing to approve it. But, whether it's whether it complies with the law, whether it's a political committee, whether it's complies with our regulations, these are all legal conclusions. And, I think it's fine if other people are happy to draw those legal conclusions. Personally, I'm not. So, obviously that answers the question. If it's not a political committee, it's not a political committee. I'm just not sure, based on what I know, that is the case. But, that's I can count. I'm losing. But I just, again, on the stance versus issue, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that's what they said anyway.
I think you make a very good point that maybe the donor profiles are a more general nature as opposed to the specific issue subdomains. But I think you make a good point. They may be operating on a bit of a broader level, although I wouldn't see anything in the opinion that would bar them from having more specific issue dimensions and having people get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. But I think that's a very good point in terms of what's been provided to us by the requester. Further discussion on the issues before us? Commissioner Walther.
Early on, I mentioned that I hate to see Commissioner Weintraub go down in flames. So I'm going to join her on this. I have the same basic concerns, and some a little bit different. But it seems to me that this is a loose framework for areas where I'm not sure we are prepared to go. I feel that a lot of this will be, if you're acquiring money, somebody else's money, that places a different obligation on you. It's a fiduciary obligation, and what do you do with this money? And what you help somebody do with this money is a very different thing. And I'm concerned about how the misunderstanding that can occur when you give somebody some money and say, I'm pro-life, and they come back and I don't know how it might work in a given case, but there's potential for saying, well, this person's pro-life, but this person's not going to lose, but we're going to send some money that direction anyhow. Or maybe the person may be pro-life, but there's a number of other issues this person has that the person may not really want to have the money spent for. So I'm not sure how they would accurately portray a person or how they would actually want to have that money spent. And I'm also concerned about the profit motive, where the money would come from. Now, say you hold somebody's money and suppose there's a couple $100,000 or $1 million all together in a fund. Well, how is that going to be invested? Where is the interest going to go? Who's going to keep control of the salaries? The subscribers, in theory, won't have any right toward governance or electing people. You have people who are officers on political committees who will have a bent to see where that money goes. And if you have a 10-person committee and you have 500 people out there, there may be a whole slug of issues out there that, they really don't, they think they're getting covered or not, but I think there's such a potential for misunderstanding when you're using somebody else's money that it concerns me on this fairly loose approach to go forward today. And so basically for those reasons, I guess we could take more time and try and develop an envelope that people could fit in, but that based on this, I'm concerned about going forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. Further discussion of the issues? Do we have a motion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I will make a motion that we approve agenda document number 06-37, however, with certain amendments. The first of which is that on page 4, line 15, we change the word create to author. And then on page 6 and page 7, I would like to make conforming changes to fit within the second point raised in the response from the requester here. I don't have exact language on how to do that, but I'm wondering if the counsel's office might have language to propose, perhaps taking the footnote up into the, getting rid of the answer as is and taking the footnote number 4 up and changing the language slightly to fit along the lines we've discussed.
What we could do, if people are amenable, is, and if the motion carries, is if question 4 is modified to answer yes as opposed to no, is have that dealt with on tally, you know, where we look at some language and work on it together collectively, and then we could adopt it.
I would be happy with that, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Smith.
Mr. Chairman, we could do that if the requester would be amenable to a brief extension.
It's great that Mr. Engel is in our midst and could perhaps provide us that time to do it on tele. All right, well, then, as I understand it, Commissioner Von Spakovsky has moved to approve agenda document number 06-37, except that on page 4, line 15, the term create will be replaced with author. And with respect to question number four, beginning on page 6 of the draft, the answer be revised from no to yes, with a rationale to be circulated and approved on tally.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion. Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries by a vote of 4-2. Commissioner Von Spakovsky, Mason Toner, and the Vice Chairman are voting affirmatively. Commissioners Weintraub and Walther voting no. That concludes our advisory opinions today.